Thank you, Daniel, for that song. It's one of my favorite songs. If you could turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 7 is where we'll begin. And before we start, I just want to say a couple of thank yous. Thankful for this church and the time we've been here, me and my wife. It's just been a blessing to get to know everybody. And a couple months ago, a lot of you gave gift cards and cards to us, and we just really appreciate that. And thank you for Pastor for the opportunity to preach, and Pastor Surrett for the couple classes of preaching classes. I hope I at least demonstrate that I learned in those classes this morning. But very thankful for this church and just the support and the love that you guys show us every time that we're here. So we'll be in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And we'll read verses 7 through 10. It says, "And lest I should be exalted above measure, through the abundance of the revelations there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, what a privilege it is to bring forth your word this morning. Lord, I pray that you would use the foolishness of the preaching this morning to just stir our hearts and that we would be changed into your image. Lord, I pray for the people who may not have been able to make it out this morning. For whatever reason, Lord, I pray that you would comfort them this morning and that us here would comfort them as well. Lord, I thank you for your word. I pray that it would do a great and mighty work in our hearts this morning. In your name, amen. In verse 7, Paul mentions a thorn in the flesh. And the literal meaning of this word in the original language means thorn or splinter. Now, how many of you have ever had a splinter ever, just anywhere? Yeah, pretty much everybody here. It's a pretty common thing. In the last job I worked, Adam can attest to this, you get splinters all the time. Just constantly. You're picking up pallets, and you get splinters, and sometimes they fester. They're so tiny, but they're festering for a couple weeks, and you can't get them out. And it's a thorn in your flesh, and it's terrible. But Paul here is talking about a different kind of thorn in the flesh. And this morning, I'd like to preach a message entitled, "Thankful for Your Thorns." Thankful for your thorns. It seems odd to be thankful for a thorn in the flesh, or thankful for a trial, but we can be thankful. In an article about a girl who suffered from a rare condition called congenital insensitivity to pain with anhidrosis, she didn't feel any pain, she did not sweat or shed tears, and the statistics I read that there was about only 100 people in the whole world that had this condition. And her name was Little Gabby, and at 4 months old, her parents noticed that she would bite her fingers, she was bleeding, but she didn't show any signs of pain or discomfort. Her parents decided to have her teeth removed to keep her from biting off her fingers. She could even put her hand on a frying pan and not feel any pain. You know, her hand is frying and she can't feel any pain. She plays sports with no fear of crashing into anything. And, you know, some people do that anyways, but the average life expectancy of someone with her condition is 25 years. Her parents have one prayer that she would feel pain. God created us to feel pain. And because sensitivity to pain has a vital purpose, just as pain has a purpose, infirmities, persecutions, and distresses also have a purpose. So first we'll see the purpose of receiving the thorn. In verse 7 it says, "And lest I should be exalted above measure, through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure." So first, the first purpose we'll see is the purpose of receiving the thorn is to banish pride and self-reliance. To banish pride and self-reliance. If you notice here in this verse, in verse 7, two times Paul uses, lest I should be exalted above measure. And that, lest I should be exalted above measure, literally means to exalt oneself, to exalt myself above measure. And the reason that Paul gives here for being exalted above measure is the abundance of the revelations in verse 7. So let's see the context here. And we'll read verses 1 through 6. Verse 1 of chapter 12 says, "It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory." And that basically, that phrase there means, it's not beneficial for me to glory. And he says, "I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord." And many scholars believe the next few verses that Paul is talking in the third person about himself. And it says, "And I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such an one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such an one will I glory, yet in myself I will not glory, but in my infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me." You know, maybe none of us, I don't think any of us have been caught up into paradise, but there are so many blessings that we have because of Christ. And many reasons that we could glory. You know, I think of Daniel's song, "His robes for mine," that he exchanged his robes to come to this earth, to die on a cross for us. And we are joint heirs with Christ. You know, when God sees Christ, he sees us as well. And we could have all that to glory, but it would be foolish for us to glory in ourselves and exalt ourselves above measure. And if you have never experienced a trial or a loss, it would be easy to trust in ourselves, would it not? But when trials come, we must lay aside our pride and say, "Lord, I need you." If you could turn to Matthew chapter 14, I think we see a great example of Peter walking on water, and a great example for us in this matter of trials. Matthew chapter 14, verse 25 and following says, "And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased." You know, it obviously had to be Peter that said, "If it be thou, Lord, you know, bid me come unto the ship." It had to be Peter. You know, I think of someone who says, he sees someone dunk a basketball or sees someone do something great, and, you know, I can do that. You know, I can dunk that basketball. I obviously can't, but. And he says, you know, "If it be thou, Lord, bid me come into the water." And he was walking on the water, something that I don't think any of us have done. He walked on the water. He saw the wind boisterous. And he saw the storm, and he began to sink. And in the same way in trials, you know, we see the trial, we begin to sink, but Jesus is there and he wants us to depend on him. And many times trials are a way of us growing closer to God and God revealing himself in a powerful way. I think of the Madagascar trip last year when Pastor Jay suddenly passed away right before the trip was about to happen. And I remember, you know, the video and Mr. Clark and the others talking about what that meant to them. And it was a trial to them. But God showed himself in a powerful way. And I know Mr. Clark has attested this, that even more so in his mind, he said, "Lord, I need you. And he said his Moses was gone, and he needed the Lord. And, you know, they stepped out in faith, and God did something amazing. And only God can get the glory for that. And so first we see the first purpose is to banish pride and self-reliance, and the second reason is to gain God's power. And you'll see that in verse 10, if I can get back there, 2 Corinthians chapter 12. In verse 10, it says, "Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." And we'll get to this aspect a little bit later. But so first we saw the purpose of receiving the thorn. And second, we'll see the prayer to remove the thorn. If you can notice verse 8, it says, "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me." And when those times come, when trials come, when there's infirmities or distresses or necessities, we should pray to God and ask God to remove the thorn. That's good for us to do that. It doesn't mean that we just say, well, I'll just deal with it. God wants us to bring our cares to Him. And a couple things I want to bring out in this point is, first off, is God's plan may be different than your prayer request. God's plan may be different. Although God wants what's best for you, it may not be that specific prayer request that you asked for. All your prayers may not be answered the way you desire, but God's way is best. And Jesus does respond to Paul's prayer request. In verse 9, it says, "And he said unto me," Jesus speaking here, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." It may not be the answer that Paul was looking for, but it was the answer that Paul needed. And the second thing I want to point out here is that Jesus cares about your need. Hebrews 4:14 through 16 says, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted or tried, like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." And if you notice there in verse 15, there's a double negative. I could say it this way: "For we have an high priest which can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities." The God of heaven, Jesus, who came down, he experienced those infirmities. He experienced the mistreatment of the cross. He experienced the trouble, the anguish. And it says that it was in all points, he was in all points tempted or tried like as we are. And he cares about you and me and our needs. 1 Peter 5:7 says, "Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." You know, as human beings, we sometimes have this attitude towards others, you know, "Oh, throw some dirt on it, you'll be fine." I think if I have a boy sometime in the future, I'll have that attitude towards him. You know, "Throw some dirt on it, you'll be fine. Go back out and play." But we have that attitude a lot towards others. But aren't you thankful that God is not a king who lords over his subjects, but rather is a father who loves his sons and his daughters? He cares about your need or that thorn in your flesh this morning. So first, we saw the purpose of receiving the thorn. Second, the prayer to remove the thorn. And third, the power from the thorn. In verse 9, it says, "And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Earlier I said this is one of the purposes of receiving the thorn is the power of Christ. And without trials coming to our life, in our life, we can easily rely on ourselves to go about what we need to do and go about the Christian life, go about preaching or teaching or going out soul winning. And the word here for power is dunamis, God's power. And God's strength is made perfect in weakness. A weak army of 300 men in Gideon with trumpets, pitchers, and lamps against a Midianite army of 135,000. And they won that battle. Can you imagine your leader coming to you with this great battle plan. You know, that those 135,000 soldiers, I think we just need to put down our swords, put down our shields. We'll just get our pitchers, our lamps, and it's going to be great, guys. There's only 300 of us, but it's going to be great. We're going to get that battle. I can't imagine a Navy SEAL coming to his men and saying, "We got this, guys. Get your trumpets, your pitchers, your lamps. We're going to nail this thing." But God, strength is made perfect in weakness. A weak teenage boy that conquered Goliath. You know, you would think it would be smart to bring a sword, you know, or that all that armor that Saul wanted to provide him. But God used that sling and a stone. He used a weak teenage boy that conquered Goliath. A seemingly ridiculous plan of walking around the walls of Jericho. You know, we're going to walk one time around the city for 6 days, and then the seventh day we're going to walk seven times. Not just one time, seven times. And then we're going to blow our trumpets, so we're going to see those walls come tumbling down. It's going to be great. A seemingly ridiculous plan in our eyes, but God used it in a mighty way. And only God could get the glory for the victory at Jericho. In the same way, God wants us, through trials and different things, to rely on Him and rely on His power so that He can get the glory. And that it's not in myself or not in you or not in Pastor or not in Paul, but it's in Christ. The power is in Christ. One author said, and so it has often been God's way to bypass men of status and social position in this world, to use those often looked down on as nobodies. You know, David was a nobody to some people, but to God, he was a mighty man of valor. And don't let Satan's messenger that thorn in the flesh stop you from serving God, and give God the glory and rely on His strength today. You know, Paul's thorn in the flesh didn't hinder him from going on 3 missionary journeys. And we don't know exactly what his thorn in the flesh was. Many people conjecture maybe it was his eyes. He didn't have great vision, or whatever the case may be. That thorn in the flesh probably hindered him in a great way in what he did. But he didn't let that stop him. He didn't say, "Woe is me," or feel sorry for himself. But he gave God the glory. And Jesus said to him, "And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect and weakness." And first of all, I didn't say this, but first part of verse 9, we see Jesus' response. And then secondly, Paul's resolution. Paul's resolution, he says, "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." It's easy for us to give God the glory for our salvation or when the times are going great. But do we give God glory for our infirmities, for that thorn in our flesh, when we don't know how we're going to pay the next bill or whatever the case may be? If you could turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, we'll start reading in verse 26. Again, Paul is writing here and he says, 1 Corinthians 1:26, "For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord." God hath chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. God wants to use us. And maybe there's some of you here today that may say, "God can't use me in a mighty way." Yes, He can. He can use every single one of you in this room, including me. If He can use me, He can use anyone in here. I'll just put it that way. Getting up in front of anybody before when I was 19 years old was like unheard of. terrible. I think of one time we were doing a play, and my whole high school class was doing a poem, and we each only had like two or four lines, I can't remember which, but it was a poem. We had two or four lines to memorize and to say, and I think I was going first, and I was so nervous before that play and before I did that poem that I couldn't remember, and I just started busting out laughing. And then every one of my classmates started busting out laughing, and they didn't know why they were busting out laughing. And it was kind of a joke for a long time. But I was so nervous to get up in front of anybody, I just couldn't remember, and I just started busting out laughing. I don't know what happened or why I did that. But if God can use me, and obviously I can speak in front of people today somehow, but if God can use me, God can use you. And he wants to use the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. And he wants us to glory him and not exalt ourselves. In Mark 3:15, Jesus gave the disciples power to cast out devils. But in Mark 9:28, the disciples said, "Why could we not cast him out?" And Jesus replied, "This kind can only come by prayer and fasting." I think it's kind of significant how that Jesus gave them the authority to cast out the devils. But then all of a sudden, they started to rely on themselves and on their strength, and they didn't have the power anymore. And I think the same way can be in our lives too. Maybe we're teaching a Sunday school class or going out soul winning, we're doing it in our power, we're not seeing results. We say, "God, why are you not doing anything when I go out soul winning? Why haven't I seen anyone saved? Why is that person in my Sunday school class not growing?" But are we trusting in our power, or are we trusting in God's power? So first we saw the purpose of the thorn, second the prayer to remove the thorn, and third the power from the thorn, and lastly, the favorite words that we like to hear, the pleasure from the thorn. Verse 10, it says, "Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then am I strong." When you first hear, "then, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities," it kind of seems like, why would you do that? Obviously the world would look at us if we said that, like, "You are just crazy. I don't know what you're talking about." But Paul says here, "Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities." And take pleasure, therefore, means to be glad and to delight. I've never said in my life, "Man, I am so thankful, I'm so glad for this splinter in my finger or in my hand or wherever it was." I haven't said that. But we can be thankful for those thorns, for the messenger of Satan buffeting us. And when Jesus says, "My grace is sufficient for thee." And please note the little preposition after each one of these, when it says "in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake," that literally means while you're in that infirmity, or while you're in that distress, or while you're in that necessity, while you're in that persecution. Not afterwards when you see the victory, not afterwards when the walls of Jericho are down, then I'll glory the Lord, but it's during the infirmity, during the reproach, during the necessity, during the persecution is when you glory and you pray and you ask God to remove it. And Jesus responds, "You know, Paul, I'm not going to give you the answer you want, but I'm going to give you the answer you need." And infirmities here means weakness or physical ailment. Reproaches means mistreatment. Necessities, compelling obligation. Persecutions means persecution. Distresses, troubling times, anguish. And our Lord, I think it's significant that our Lord just went through all of these. And that's why he can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. And on January 21st, my wife and I were told that we indeed had lost our baby. And my wife said this to me, "These past few weeks have been a gift, and I'm so thankful to have been a mom." And I remember those words that she said to me, and the glory that she gave to God just was a powerful example to me. And God's grace is always sufficient for any suffering that you have. No matter what it is, any suffering, God's grace is always sufficient. So what infirmity has been a thorn in your flesh today? Or what reproach or what mistreatment has been a thorn in your flesh? What compelling obligation has been a thorn in your flesh? What persecution has been a thorn in your flesh? Or what distressing time or troubling time has been a thorn in your flesh? Have you been to the throne of grace today or this week about your thorn? Have you been thankful about your thorn and praise God for it? A few years ago, a missionary by the name of Daniel Minton, along with two other missionaries, decided to go to South Africa and preach the gospel. And during their time there, he developed a relationship with a man named Skulk. And he was trying to witness to him and gave him the gospel multiple times, but he wanted nothing to do with the gospel. And once that church had been started and it was growing, the missionaries decided to go to a different part of the country and start a church. But they had to cross a river first. And so the missionaries decided to swim across the river. There was no bridge. And they were crossing the river, and then one missionary saw a crocodile and yelled out, "Crocodile." And so they swam as fast as they could to try to escape the crocodile. But Daniel Minton was bit by the crocodile right across his legs. And long story short, he survived. But his missionary friend carried him back to the mission and sewed up his wounds with no anesthesia, nothing. He was laying there in bed and he was struggling. He was in pain. And he said, "Why would God allow this to happen? Here I have surrendered to God and look what I get in return." Though he didn't understand, he finally did surrender it to God. He sat in his bed. He began to praise God by singing, and that man named Skulk, he heard of what happened to Daniel, and he wanted to see how Daniel would respond. And so he went by the mission, and he stood outside the bedroom where Daniel was, and he expected to hear him complaining or cursing God, but instead he heard a man delighting in God. And after coming by and listening to him praise God, he finally came into Daniel and questioned him. He said, "I witnessed you for 2 years." Daniel said to Skulk, "I witnessed you for 2 years. Why do you want to be saved now?" Skulk simply replied, "I want what you have." The power of praising God in your infirmity or your troubling time has a great power that the lost can see in our lives. "It is well with my soul," says, "when peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well. It is well with my soul." Verse 2 says, "Though Satan should buffet, though trials should come," which is in our text this morning, "let this blessed assurance control that Christ hath regarded my helpless estate and hath shed his own blood for my soul." Verse 3, "My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, oh, my soul." Verse 4, "And Lord, haste the day when the face shall be sight, the clouds be rolled back as a scroll, the trump shall resound, and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul." Is it well with your soul this morning? Though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, are you thankful for your thorns? Pastor.
Let's pray together this morning. Father, thank you for the word of God that was given to us this morning, for the reminder of the truth that you are in control and that we can rest in that. And when we can't understand, when we don't see the full picture, we should let you be God. Not try to figure it out ourselves, but surrender to you. And then rejoice in the difficulty. That's tough to do, but we're grateful that you've given us this text of scripture and many others that tell us this is exactly what we should do, and we rejoice in that. Help us, Lord, to apply these truths to our lives day in and day out. May it impact us, we pray. In your name we pray, amen. Pastor Brew, why don't we come and sing "It Is Well With My Soul," and while he's doing that, our men will get ready.